Today's verse reading comes from the Bhagavad Gita, Canto 3, Chapter 31, the movements of the living entities. And we're reading from verse number 19. Looks like the Brahma Samhita. Pasyatyayam dishanaya nanu sukta sapta vadri.
Pasyatyayam dishanaya nanu sukta vadri.
Sarira ketama satra para swaya. Sarira ke namasari yapara swadehe.
Sarira ke namasari yapara swadehe.
Yat shishtayasam tamaham purusham puranam.
Yat shishtayasam tamaham purusham puranam.
Pasye bahir videcha tar. Yami bhapti tam.
Pashe bhai vidhichayam bhapti tam.
Pasyatyayam shanaya nanu sapta vidvadri.
Pasyatyayam shanaya nanu sapta vidvadri.
Sharira ke tamasariya parasvadehe.
Sharira ke tamasariya parasvadehe.
Yatsrishtayasam tamaham purusham puranam.
Yatsrishtayasam tamaham purusham puranam.
Pasye bahir vichachaitam iva pratitam.
Pasye bahir vichachaitam iva pratitam. Pasyatyayam dishanaya nanu saptavadri. Sharira ke dama sharira parapshade.
Sharira ke dama sharira parapshade.
Yatsishtayasam tamaham purusham puranam.
Yatsishtayasam tamaham purusham puranam.
Pasye bahir hidicha chaitam iva pratitam.
Pasye bahir hidicha chaitam iva pratitam.
Pasyati
sees.
I am this living entity. Dishanaya
with
intelligence.
Nanu.
Only.
Saptavadri.
Bound by the seven layers of material coverings. Sarirake. Agreeable and disagreeable sense perceptions. Dhammasariri. Having a body for self-control. Apara. Another. Swadehe. In his body. Yat. By the Supreme Lord. Srishtaya. Endowed. Asam.
Was.
Tam.
Him.
Aham.
I.
Purusham. Person.
Puranam.
Oldest. Pasye.
See.
Bahi.
Outside.
Pretty.
In the heart.
Cha.
And.
Chaityam. The source of the ego.
Eva.
Indeed.
Prakitam.
Recognize. The living entity in another type of body sees only by instinct. He knows only the agreeable and disagreeable sense perceptions of that particular body. But I have a body in which I can control my senses and can understand my destination. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whom I have been blessed with this body, and by whose grace I can see him within and without. Can we repeat responsibly? The living entity in another type of body.
The living entity in another type of body.
Sees only by instinct.
Sees only by instinct.
He knows only the agreeable and disagreeable.
He knows only the agreeable and disagreeable.
Sense perceptions.
Sense perceptions.
Of that particular body.
Of that particular body.
But I have a body.
But I have a body.
In which I can control my senses.
In which I control my senses.
And can understand my destination.
And can understand my destination.
Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances.
I offer my respectful obeisances.
To the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
To the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
By whom?
By whom?
I have been blessed.
I am blessed
with this body.
With this body.
And by whose grace?
By whose grace?
I can see him within and without.
I can see him within and without.
Support person by grace of Asi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada. The evolutionary process of different types of bodies is something like that of a fructifying flower. But just as there are different stages in the growth of a flower, the bud stage, the blooming stage, and the full-fledged, fully grown stage of aroma and beauty, there are 8,400,000 species of bodies in gradual evolution, and there is systematic progress from the lower species of life to the higher. The human form of life is supposed to be the highest, for it offers consciousness of getting out of the clutches of birth and death. The fortunate child in the womb of his mother realizes his superior position and is therefore distinguished from other bodies. Animals in bodies lower than that of the human being are conscious only as far as their bodily distress and happiness are concerned. They cannot think of more than their bodily necessities of life, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But in the human form of life, by the grace of God, the consciousness is so developed that a man can evaluate his exceptional position and thus realize the Self and the Supreme Lord. The word Dhamma Sariri means that we have a body in which we can control the senses and the mind. The complication of material life is due to an uncontrolled mind and uncontrolled senses. One should feel grateful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead for having obtained such a nice human form of body, and one should properly utilize it. The distinction between an animal and a man is that the animal cannot control himself and has no sense of decency, whereas the human being has the sense of decency and can control himself. If this controlling power is not exhibited by the human being, then he is no better than an animal. By controlling the senses or by the process of yoga regulation, one can understand the position of his self, the super soul, the world, and their interrelation. Everything is possible by controlling the senses. Otherwise, we are no better than animals. Real self-realization by means of controlling the senses is explained herein. One should try to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead and oneself also. To think oneself the same as the Supreme is not self-realization. Here it is clearly explained that the Supreme Lord is Anadi or Purana, and he has no other cause. The living entity is born of the Supreme Godhead as part and parcel. It is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, Anadir Adi Govinda. Govinda, the Supreme Person, has no cause, he is unborn, but the living entity is born of him, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Mamaya Vamsaha. Both the living entity and the Supreme Lord are unborn, but it has to be understood that the supreme cause of the part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead has to be understood that the supreme cause of the part and parcel is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahma Samhita therefore says that everything has come from the Danta Sutra. Sorry, come from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sarva Karana Karanam. The Vedanta Sutra confirms this also, Janmadyasya Yatha. The absolute truth is the original source of everyone's birth. Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, Hamsavasya Prabhava, I am the source of birth of everything, including Brahma and Lord Shiva and the living entities. This is self-realization. One should know that he is under the control of the Supreme Lord and not think that he is fully independent. Otherwise, why should he be put into conditional life? Just read the verse again. The living entity in another type of body sees only by instinct. He knows only the agreeable and disagreeable sense perceptions of that particular body. But I have a body in which I can control my senses and can understand my destination. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whom I have been blessed with this body and by whose grace I can see him within and without. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nivasesha Sunyavari Pasta Tadesha Tarini Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhara Srivasari Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama So, after that kirtan, we don't need any more explanation. What is it? Jeta dapanam pava mahadavagnini saiva kaiva charana kaiva taranam vidyavaru jivanam. Sankirtan is the life of all transcendental knowledge by our inner development of Krishna consciousness, then all these things become apparent without extraneous or separate endeavour. So I pray for the mercy of my spiritual master, because born in the darkest of ignorance, pray for all the blessings of all the nice devotees, to be able to address some relevant point here, before a very fallen jiva soul, completely dependent on the blessings of Guru and Vaishnavas. So, in Bhagavad Gita, in 13th chapter, there's a verse which I learnt in my youth, when the brain was still a bit working. Now it's not working. It says, Sava Chetreshu Bharata. How does it start off? Chetra gyam chapi mam vidi sava chetreshu bharata. Chetra chetra gyayo gyanam yajstat gyanam aham mama. Krishna says that this body is the field of activities, and to understand the body and the knower of the body is called knowledge. That is my opinion. So, chapter 13, I was just reviewing it last night. It's a very wonderful chapter, where Lord Krishna gives some very inspiring outlook, because he explains the position of the knower, the enjoyer. The chapter is called Nature, the Enjoyer and Consciousness. So nature consists of the body. So many elements Krishna explains in the, three modes of material nature, the Mahatattva, the senses, all these, and the convictions, happiness, distress, there's, so many different elements in the material nature, and the living entity is the separate element, the amsa of Krishna. So Krishna says to understand the proper interrelation of the body and the soul and the super soul is actually knowledge. And it becomes very much practical in the sense of performing devotional service, because when we perform devotional service with the under the guidance, under the proper process, then we are blessed with Krishna. Tesham, what is it? Tesham satate yuktanam bhajatam padipuvakam. From within the heart, Krishna, for to those who are sincere, Krishna gives the knowledge by which they can understand him. So this is a very wonderful blessing. Krishna says that nothing is wonderful. Nahi gyanena sadrisham. There's nothing as wonderful as transcendental knowledge. And one who has realized that knowledge one who has realized the knowledge enjoys the self within himself in due course of time. And we're all aspiring for that. We have the role models of the sadhus, of the acharyas, of their persona, as I think Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati described about having the association of his spiritual master. He said that seeing the character of a Vaishnava, I can understand that only a Vaishnava is happy in this world. Something to that relation there. So that's because he is actually connected on the transcendental platform. And if we're not connected on the transcendental platform, then Krishna says that one who is not connected with Krishna, connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness, can neither have a steady mind or controlled senses, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be happiness without peace? So it's concomitant, it's necessary to have this steady mind and controlled senses. And as Srila Prabhupada is explaining in the purport of that verse, Shetram Mam Chapi Mam Vidi, he says that he's explaining there in the purport that if you control the senses, then you can understand spirit. And he gives some rationale there. So Srila Prabhupada is saying here, if you don't control the senses, then you don't rise from the animal platform. And there's no sense of decency. So we can be subject to degradation without following the principles of spiritual progress. And those principles, they restrict our focus for a higher purpose. And this is misunderstood. The uninformed or the inexperienced may be looking for a kind of liberation that they feel is free from the fetters of any rules and regulations, right? So Krishna says that by following the regulative principles of freedom, then one can attain the desirable stage. So these are very important verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying that the embodied soul can be restricted from sense enjoyment, but the taste still remains. So it's not just the restriction on its own, but the regulative principles of freedom means following a process and following in the footsteps of those who are at the desirable stage. Therefore, it says the spiritual master should be on the spiritual platform, the Mahabhagavat, a very advanced devotee, because then the disciple can emulate or aspire for that that level of purity and focus. So when one is fixed in his commitment in Krishna consciousness, then material nature's modes are diminished. And this ties in with Srila Prabhupada's prayers when he was coming to the West from the Bhagavatam, that describe how when a person follows the practices of Krishna consciousness, then he experiences the upliftment from the modes of passion and ignorance, and he becomes happy in goodness, and he becomes to more and more realize his connection with Krishna. And then it says, then being freed, when the knot of attachment in the heart is cut to pieces by this revelation of the Lord, then he's completely freed and he sees both the self and the super self. He sees himself. What does it say? Vidyate hridaya grantis chidyante sava samsaya shiyante tasya kamani drishtva abhat manishvare. Thus the knot in the heart is cut to pieces. And anyone know those nice verses? One comes to see him, the self, as the master. And it's interesting because if you go to some of the old Srimad Bhagavatams, the self is the small s. And if you go to some other Bhagavatams, they put the self as the big S. Right? So the big S is Krishna, the super self, the self as the master. Has anyone ever noticed that? Yeah, in some of the old Bhagavatams, in the first canto there, in the third chapter, our second chapter, devotional service. And there's a little bit of a difference there. But then I saw there was a footnote somewhere relating to that, that the self, understanding the self as Martha, it's relevant in both cases, because there's an old saying that one's destiny is in the palm of his hand, or one is the architect of his own destiny. So in that term, we are the master of our own destiny. You know, Krishna, material nature, provides the facility. In the 13th chapter there, it explains how Krishna, the modes of matter and the material nature and nature and the modes of matter, they are provided by the Lord, but the living entity is the cause of his happiness and distress. So the devotee can understand this distinction, but putting it into practice is the science, because it's all right to say I'm not the body, and yes, God's Bhagavan in Goloka, but to actually have that conviction when there are, what does it say, a person is tested in difficulty. So, therefore, the living entity in the womb is praying very sincerely that I have this opportunity to understand the higher, understand spiritual knowledge, he's very grateful for that privilege, that opportunity, because in other species of life it says that if one is just engrossed by the ahara baya nidra ahara mantuni baya. Thank you. How's it going? Okay, Prabhupada just usually shortens it, Maituni Baya, Ahara Nidra, that these four principles, eating, sleeping, mating and defending. So living in it's completely dominated, and just to solve those problems is success, whether it's so-called human life or animal life, but to come to the platform where one is able to access opportunity to relate to Krishna as a friend, Suridam Sabat, as a friend and a protector at all times, to have that solid faith and taste. There has to be a taste there in Krishna consciousness. It's not just a philosophy, but it's susukam kartamabhyam. It's actually a development of our original dormant love for Krishna. So there are different prayers throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, and the living entities or different devotees and different states of their development of Krishna consciousness. So here we're seeing the very first spark of that awakening of a relationship with Krishna, and that is in the form of ato, the first symptom of devotional service that relieves us from distress. So when we're in our distress and we pray to Krishna, that gives some comfort, doesn't it? It says if you share your misery, it immediately halves it. Doesn't it have a saying like that? So even if you share your misery with Krishna, then if there's some consciousness or conception that someone is listening out there, someone knows my predicament. So the living entity, when he begins to reach out to Krishna, and that's the first awakening. It says that the living entity's development of consciousness is like the bud of the flower. The Prabhupada sometimes gives this example, that the scriptures also give the example that we can see how the bud is unfolding, and when it's in the bud form, it lacks the fragrance and the colour and the artistry of when it's blooming. So similarly, the consciousness, when it's in full Krishna consciousness, then all the good qualities manifest. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavat yakinchana sabais sabai ganais tatra samasate sura, that the living entity who performs devotional service, he imbibes all the good qualities of the demigods. So that's the blossoming stage of Krishna consciousness. In the inception of Krishna consciousness, it's like the living entity in the womb. Then there's just the reaching out, the groping in the dark, so to speak. But because Krishna is there, then Krishna will reciprocate with the sincere desire of the living entity. But it's dangerous. Prabhupada explains in that Ato Jigyasu Atati verse in the Bhagavad Gita that it's a precarious platform when you just go to God when there's a problem, because the tendency, of course, to not continue the relationship. So when there is knowledge, then we start to become more securely situated in our progressive development. So that is the necessity of the Krishna consciousness movement, to establish a society of people who can give association and give relevant direction to people. It's a Brahminical society. We understand what is Brahman, Prabhupada. Sometimes, because I'm on the farm, we talk about this Vana Ashram a lot. Who is a Brahmana? Who is a Vaishya? Chatri and things. But in the end of the day, Srila Prabhupada solves the problem very nicely. Sometimes there's an ego contention comes up there of this hierarchical situation. But actually the Krishna consciousness platform is automatically transcendental. I just heard Prabhupada on a lecture saying, Prabhupada was, criticizing that people who, are posing as mentors or brahmanas but have no quality. And then Prabhupada said, if one becomes Krishna conscious, he becomes a devotee, he becomes automatically the best brahmana. Becomes the best brahmana. Actually knows Krishna. He knows his relationship with Krishna, and he's established in the practice of connecting with Krishna. So when one is firmly fixed in devotional service, then he has no doubts anymore. All his doubts are eradicated because it's an active reciprocation of love, and because of Krishna's mercy to us, then we're able to evoke that or access that link with Krishna. Even it's a little shady sometimes. We go back to the regulative principles of freedom. Even if there's some cloud over the consciousness, just by adhering to the practice. And I was talking to a friend I met on pilgrimage there some months ago in Vrindavan, and he was just reflecting that how reassuring the process of Krishna consciousness is. And it says, we've been through it hundreds of times, when there's a problem and you just go back to your rounds nicely, the regulated program. And
you know, the clouds, the clouds are dispersed. So sometimes there are many impending problems facing us when we try to perform devotional service, because Krishna will test us. Prabhupada said Krishna will test the devotee very severely, because Bhaktivinoda has written a nice song that thou art, what is it? thou art his till end of time, who wants but purest love. I can't remember the first lines. It says, it says, thou art his till end of time, who wants but purest love. So Krishna doesn't want a compromised, you know, situation. This is Kaitava Dham. We just go to God when we need something. But Krishna wants this full-fledged conviction, commitment, and focus. Therefore, the baby will come out of the womb, and there will be so many tests and tribulations. As Bhajibo Baliya Ese Samsara Bitare, Bhaktivinoda says, you know, we come into this world of birth and death, but again we forget our maintainer, Krishna. This is the Maya. It's very, very strong. It's only by inconceivable mercy that we get the opportunity to see through the ruse of material life. Just like I was just reflecting that Srila Prabhupada exposes that there is no love in this material world. I remember when I first heard this statement, and I'd just been living in the temple for a few days as a bit of an experiment, and when I heard that statement by Ramai Das, it was a real challenge to my consciousness. He was establishing with quite cool commitment and supporting statements, there is no love in this material world. There isn't any love. And I was just like, it can't be true. You know? What about, I was thinking of all the relationships with my relatives and things. I actually couldn't tolerate that statement. I walked up that day and spent a day in the park, walking up and down. But actually, you know, Prabhupada is boldly declaring and confirming the statements of the scriptures. There is no love in the material world. That love, it's only there on the spiritual platform between the living entity and Krishna. And love is relevant to that relationship. It's only possible by the development of or the awakening of our love for Krishna. Otherwise, security may be there, sense gratification is there. There's so many reasons that we might have a relationship with someone, but it's not love. And the devotee knows this very, very conclusively as he proceeds in his devotional service. And gradually, he realizes that love of Krishna in association with devotees by developing appreciation for Krishna's devotees, and experiences more and more the reflection of Krishna's love coming through that medium of Krishna's representatives, especially the spiritual master. This is the disciple, you know, he has to have this vow of surrender and love for the spiritual master. And then when the spiritual master is pleased, and the devotee feels the blessings of Krishna. So as I was saying, there's different prayers and different passages in the Bhagavatam where devotees are expressing their realization of Krishna's, of their relationship with Krishna. There's many wonderful prayers throughout the Bhagavatam. And it's interesting, we were reading some together from the sixth canto, where Daksha, he decides after his after he gets a new body, right? His head was chopped off by by, who was it? Vrikasura. Sorry? Who is the demon that cut off? Virabhadra. Right, cut off, not demon, who was the demon, I suppose. And he cut off Daksha's head and Shiva put it back in a goat's head. And later on he appeared again as, can't remember whose dynasty he appeared in, but anyway, he appeared as a progenitor and he wanted to perform the activity of populating the universe, as we all do. So he went to some mountain and performed austerities, and Krishna was pleased and he came to bless him, and he offered very eloquent prayers to Krishna. It's very impressive when you read those prayers. It's like a pure Vaishnava understanding, and Krishna was pleased with these prayers and he responded to him. And I noted in those prayers that that Krishna was, just as Srila Prabhupada is exposing the misunderstandings of the Mayavadi and impersonalist conceptions, and Krishna himself in the response to Daksha, he very clearly establishes the fault that if you think that the soul and the Ishvara, the controller, are one, this is a dangerous misconception. You can go through those prayers and find it if you like. And of course, Prabhupada takes the opportunity to, catch on to, Krishna's own statements there. And we find this throughout Srila Prabhupada's books and throughout his teachings, that this is a very, very dangerous, dangerous philosophy being promulgated throughout society. And so many people are being, bewildered and hoodwinked. In one place in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the fifth canto, how Prabhupada says that my purports are my ecstasies. Sometimes there's one one purport, someone might have noticed it, where Prabhupada says in the fifth canto that he said the proliferation of these yogis and cheating, cheaters, has become so, so much that we are, amazed at how to push on this Krishna consciousness in the midst. Has anyone noticed that statement by Prabhupada? You've seen it, Mahatma? Somewhere in the fifth canon, I'd like to find it again, but Prabhupada says, we're just actually amazed at the amount of, and I was listening to a conversation of Srila Prabhupada with the devotees somewhere. And there was one, and it was in France, one person was asking Prabhupada about, these different personalities, Rajneesh and Mahesh Yogi and different people. Prabhupada was responding, and then Prabhupada also said there, there's so many of these people, we're trying to push on Krishna consciousness. And then they brought up the Ramakrishna mission, and then Prabhupada got, sort of like fairly adamant about it. He said that the Ramakrishna mission, they have been in America for about 20 years or 50 years, and they've got 12 branches. He said, I've been preaching for 5 years, nearly 6 years, and we have 50 branches. What have they done? And then Prabhupada exposed. He said that they've just accepted the Western ways. They've accepted meat eating and wine drinking. And they've like this, they're spoiling the Vedic culture. And so, Prabhupada was saying how, he and the Krishna consciousness movement is actually representing the actual interests of the living entity. These people come here and people become sentimental and, they don't really discriminate what these people are saying. But someone like Prabhupada comes along and exposes it. I remember Atmaram Prabhu, just 2 or 3 years ago, he was offering his Vyasa Puja homage, and a very nice point he made there. He said, Prabhupada came, he said, you're not God, I'm not God, Krishna is God. Very simple. Prabhupada was sometimes it comes down to the nuts and bolts. You are not God. Prabhupada Vinas to tell people on their face. And, you know, this is Prabhupada's, you know, the hallmark of Prabhupada's Bhaktivedanta purports and of his style of preaching, to just make it very clear what is what. And Prabhupada, you know, inexhaustible in just reiterating these principles. And actually, there's two aspects of spiritual knowledge. One is internalization of the spiritual knowledge, and one is establishment of Dharma. So there's two aspects of Swadharma. One is your duty, and one is your eternal constitutional position. There's two aspects discussed there. What you're doing in the material world is your service to Krishna, and developing your realization. So Prabhupada, you know, real culture addresses both. It addresses the needs of the individual as well as the needs of society. So this Krishna consciousness movement, it's actually fully, as Prabhupada says, it's fully authorized by Lord Chaitanya. And because it's authorized and because it's bona fide, then it can address the real need of both the living entity and society. And that's why we're here. Because we became fully convinced in intellectually and in our heart that this is the true process, that it actually can awaken our appreciation, our reverence for God in all of his wonderful energies and forms. It all makes sense what's explained there, and it can give a process by which we can offer a social structure to help people access this opportunity. The social structure at the moment is crazy, and everybody is seeing it. It's just like, it's just got out of ballistic, right? People used to come to Australia because it's a nice place. Sydney and Melbourne, these nice cities, you know. And now the very people that came here to escape from other places are complaining worse than anyone. So, you know, there's no social plan for it, because God is not in the centre. Sense gratification is in the centre. And then, because of sense gratification, andanta go bid vishitam tamisram puna punas chavita chavananam, then everyone goes to hell. When sense gratification is the object of the social structure, then everything goes to hell, because it becomes an animal society. And that's what we're seeing. Sophisticated animals, more and more. Don't know what else to say here. We're just about winding up now. I was saying, in the social structure, then, you know, people, devotees, they should be conversant. You know, we should try to become conversant with the tenets of Krishna consciousness, because they're very profound. And Prabhupada had such a vision right from his, you know, meeting his spiritual master. He could see that the movement of Krishna consciousness of Lord Chaitanya is in safe hands, in the hands of a realized acharya. And Srila Prabhupada is also himself, of course, a realized acharya. And if we follow try to understand the vision of the acharya, and see how these practices that Srila Prabhupada laid down are revolutionary. They revolutionize, every one of us is revolutionize our own lives. But over and above that, the social design there, it can be offered if we have an opportunity to interact with the thinkers of society. Then we can offer them Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Marg, this wonderful structure where people can use their propensities and at the same time be connected with Krishna. So it's very inspiring being here for a few days with the leaders of our movement. I had practically nothing to say day after day. But it was nice to see that devotees are experiencing by their diligent practices of Krishna consciousness, more and more opportunities to bring this wonderful opportunity to the attention of those who may have some influence to help people. I remember I came out of the dregs of society. We were on Skid Row in King's Cross, just bums on the street, and somehow we got prasadam and we got a Bhagavad Gita, and I'll tell you how ignorant I was when I got the Bhagavad Gita. This looks like a really interesting book. It might be like the I Ching. Has anyone heard of the I Ching? It used to be a great hippie book. You throw a couple of coins, they have these coins, and then it tells you which page to open, and that gives you your destiny for the day. It's pretty dangerous with Bhagavad Gita, because I think it was the second chapter, do thou fight for the sake of fighting, and that was a bad day. I won't tell the story. It was a pretty rough neighbourhood. I got a little cross-wired with the message of the Bhagavad Gita. We need to learn it from a self-realised soul. And that same Bhagavad Gita, which I was treasuring, one day I came home and to take shelter of the Bhagavad Gita, but it had become fuel for marshmallows.
Hi.
Mm. So these were where I was coming from. So it was a far cry to come to the shelter of Buckingham Street Temple there, and very nicely mannered people who were taking relish in doing service for Krishna, serving me prasadam. I remember the pujari was serving out laddus, besan laddus. I was very attracted to sweets, I still am. After everybody got up and left, I was still eating those besan laddus, and they left the tray just very close to me, so I reached over and took a couple. And then the head pujari, Guru Keshava, came in and he saw that dirty new bhakta eating out of the tray. And then a few minutes, and he stormed out of the room. And then a few minutes later, I could hear this bang, bang, bang. What's going on? And I looked out the door. Guru Keshava had a hammer demolishing that tray. That was the good old days. The hot water handles had been sawed off the showers by Hari Suri. Remember that temple in the Sringa? I don't know, someone did. So, but it was such a far cry from the battlefield of the drug scene and everything, to devotees actually making prasadam, worshipping God, chanting for God. And it's a far cry. And we come in here and sometimes we become a little, sort of complacent. It's always there for us, coming to kirtan, take prasadam. But anyway, we have to push on, work nicely together, and then Krishna may show us the ways and means to share this, just like I've been living on the farm for many years. And we have the hope there in Prabhupada's statements that, this is an important aspect of it's one of the four waves of the Krishna consciousness movement. There's the temple movement to establish these temples. There's the initiation movement to purify people and bring them up to the brahminical life. And there's there's the Harinam movement to purify the whole society and the whole atmosphere. And there's the classless society movement, which does demonstrate how people can work according to their propensities without prejudice. Whatever you do, it's all service to God. So especially the farms, they're an opportunity to show it in a more congenial environment. And, few devotees are dedicated to those particular fields. And, Srila Prabhupada saw Rameshwar on one YouTube, and he was marvelling with big eyes. He said, Prabhupada told us, Prabhupada said, one day millions of people will come to these farms. And he opened his eyes wide like Prabhupada would do. So we can see as more and more people are seeing that there has to be some alternative to the spiraling decadence of modern society, which is you know, more and more people are popping out, aren't they? Not fitting into the competitive fields of sense gratification society. So I think that's about all I can think of in this relation. Hare Krishna. Hope I said something on the lines of the mood of the Bhagavatam, the living entities praying. Give me another opportunity. I won't forget you this time, Krishna. So this is the price of Krishna consciousness, to keep this this labha, this, you know, intensity of attachment for Krishna consciousness. And it's so nice if you practice Krishna consciousness and keep in the fold of Srila Prabhupada's family, then as the years go by and we see, you know, dear devotees, and we feel so so satisfied at heart to be part of such a wonderful thing. And seen Prabhupada for 20 years and he's still exactly the same guy. He's more fired up. So like that with devotees, you can see that the end is in sight. Even it's just a short few decades we go through life, and then, you know, we're on the retirement line, and you know, we can feel hope and joy. I remember when I was a young devotee in Brigupati, my Bhakta leader, he said, you know, he was lecturing from the Bhagavatam, and he was saying how, you know, death is an old age is the inspiration for the devotees. They're getting closer to Krishna in one way. So, yep, we're getting closer for sure. Prabhupada's not, but I am. So thank you very much. Anyone got any question? Maybe just a few minutes. Mark Medji.
Thank you very much, Ritai Guru, for a nice exposition. Srila Prabhupada is very, you know, calm about this, the proliferation of yogis and no sense control. And that's why Prabhupada saying, I am not God, you are not God. Or if you say you are God, then you are a dog.
That's right.
And Prabhupada emphasized that Ananya Shintyanto Mam, Ye Jano Parapaste Teshami Vityanam, Yom Kivim Naman. I take care of everything if you surrender.
So what's the verse?
Yeah.
Which verse? Ananyas chintayam tamam ye janam pepasti. All these nice verses.
If you surrender, then I take care of you. What you haven't got, I'll provide, and what you have, I'll preserve.
Yeah, and neha bhakama nasasti. Right from a little bit of sincere advancement in Krishna consciousness, then we can... we can be confident of being, you know, connected.
Sense control is very important.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your name, Philip?
My name's Philip.
Philip, Hari Bol, back to Philip. Very enthusiastic devotee there.
You said before that this old saying that architect of our own destiny. But I wonder, you know, which
Krishna's saying it's an old saying, yeah.
To which extent is it true, but isn't it like a when we're not devotees, then actually karma is the sign of destiny, and as soon as you apply yourself to the process, is it actually the mercy of the other devotees only?
Yeah, there's a clear delineation between when you're connected with Krishna and when you're not connected with Krishna. When we become connected with Krishna through any of the practices of bhakti, Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Achanam Bandhanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanabedanam. Any of these nine processes, when we become connected with Krishna, just like this living entity in the womb is becoming connected by Vandanam, by offering prayer. So that's the propensity of any living entity when they're in difficulty to recognize or pray to a higher authority. So then they become connected. So then the process... according to the sincerity of the living entity, then he may be fortunate. Brahmanda Brahmate Kona Bhagyavana Jeev, very fortunate living entity, gets to the next step. He meets a bona fide spiritual master, and if he takes that up from there, then he can be extricated, he can be liberated. So the preliminary process is a connection with Krishna, but if we deny Krishna, if we deny Krishna's ordination or his controlling, then if we are averse to that and deny it, then will Krishna just facilitate our ignorance? But Krishna knows the situation there, and because of a ripe situation, then that the blossoming of the consciousness may be able to progress, but it can become stunted according to the association. In good association, then the process will proceed, and we'll experience that Krishna is taking over our destiny. The scripture says that a devotee understands that everything is happening by Krishna's mercy. And it is happening by Krishna's mercy when he understands that. And a non-devotee who doesn't believe in Krishna, it's happening by the arrangement of material nature, Krishna's agents. Krishna doesn't take active interest in it. It's only when we surrender to Krishna, when we ask Krishna to take part in our destiny, that Krishna does. If we don't want him to, then he doesn't. All right, you're under the agents, the material agents. So both sides are there. Krishna's never away from us, but he doesn't take an active role unless we want him to. So that's the beginning of devotional service, understanding that that Krishna's always with me. He's never away from me. That's the beginning, recognizing that Krishna's there. And by that recognition, then we can interact with Krishna. Yes, Nisringa Kamacha
Prabhu. It's really interesting in this verse how Jesus is sort of spelling out the difference very clearly between animals and humans. In the life of an animal, we're only everything they're determining is based on sense gratification. Is this last one was nice, or is this one I don't like it. Whereas you're pointing out how the humans, they have a bit of discrimination, they should be able to control their situation. They know their destination, so they're going to act like this, I'll achieve my destination, but I don't act like this, I'll achieve my destination. So it's a very clear description. I was just wondering if you'd like to sort of do a bit more, sort of share your thoughts on that. Seems like you've got a point here. You did discuss it a little bit, you quote.
Do you have something in particular in mind?
No, I just find it very interesting how it's really clearly spelled out.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. it is interesting. Like I said, for myself, I had a little trouble digesting, the devotee's clear delineation of religious principles, that you're not on the human platform unless you follow the principles of human life to control your senses. You're actually not a human, and Prabhupada said that. As Mahatma was, reinforcing there, even the yogis and bogies and all these people, if they don't establish, or teach the path of, proper conduct, then they're also they're also very degraded. But I was thinking in terms of the devotees, because we were discussing every time we come here to the meetings, it's about social conduct is a big portion of our meeting, is like sexual harassment, child protection, there was a few issues there. It takes up quite a bit of the managerial kind of focus and application about establishing principles of moral conduct, doesn't it? You've been so many meetings, there's a lot of time goes into the management meetings of establishing these principles. So it's very precarious the nature of the material energy is very dangerous and precarious. And we can see in the history, in the Shastras, examples of how even great personalities like Brahma, or to speak of, you know, so many lesser personalities, were somewhat temporarily thrown into bewilderment by the Krishna says that, the mind and the senses are so impetuous that even a man of discrimination can be bewildered by one of the senses in which the mind focuses. It's very dangerous, the whole thing. And it's only by Bhavasatmaka Buddhi, by consolidating our focus on the order of the spiritual master, on the mission of the spiritual master, and on the practices of our, rigorous practice, that we can be saved. We can be secure. And also, I feel for the victims. When we say victims, I mean the people who get implicated in immoral activity, such as pedophilia and sexual harassment and all these things. Everybody becomes a victim when these kinds of things. And not only the society becomes, not only the people become victimized, but the society becomes implicated. And the outside people also, are somewhat disheartened if these things go on in religious societies. So, when Krishna's name is in the middle, when the proper focus is there, and Krishna consciousness is uplifting our consciousness by ecstatic nam seva, serving the holy name, which is the whole dharma for this age, then everything, these things can become properly, rectified. Everyone can become rectified.
Eke kuru nandana.
Yeah, that focus.
So then, the comment you made about how a lot of management is focusing on proper conduct, then begs the question, at least in my experience, and in this I'm sure I've had some experiences, is that a lot of emphasis is put on getting the job done, whereas from my perspective, not sufficient emphasis is put on sanchar, cultivating proper behavior, because if we understand how to behave properly and that's encouraged, it would seem that like a lot of this time is happening.
We're in an immature stage in our establishment of Krishna consciousness. Just like my son last night was saying, that sometimes the brahmacharis come in and they spend a bit of time and then they get married and there's not much support for that next step. And I said, yeah, well, Prabhupada's given us the formula, but we really have to work. There's so much challenges to work on and putting all this together. From our aspect, where we're living on farm communities, we're seeing that there's a gradual development of the vanaprastha stage. And actually, vanaprastha's in society, in a stable, more stable spiritual society, are very valuable contributors, and we haven't realized that as much as we need to. Now we're seeing a sort of a change of the demographic from just all young people now to more mature people and less young people, which is not good. But the pendulum's swinging around there a bit. But the beauty of the present situation is that those people who have been practicing Krishna consciousness for a long time, they add a very stabilizing and mode of goodness factor to the society. Do you feel that?
I think that's a part of the picture, but also because we went out to a family function the other day with my family, and I was speaking with one of the elders in their family. And just from the conversation, I've always felt this way, that in Western society, the extended family unit is practically non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
Elders, stuff. What do people generally do with their grandparents? They stick them in an old age home.
Yeah.
They just forget about them. Just pay the bill, don't worry about it, don't just chakras, you just put them over and forgot. But also their mind table, because we've been so engaged in sense gratification, or whatever, with the
mental. Yeah. Nobody wants to look after them.
Yeah. For a lot of people, it's just an embarrassment. But it seems to me it's like in a society which is more wholesome, and the values are there, and people are nurtured and stuff like that. If you have this kind of like the generations, like Bhishma, he was the grandfather of Guru Dynasty, and everyone went to him for guidance. Exactly. But also, he has spent his lifetime cultivating knowledge of Dharma. So he was a very, very learned thing. We don't have that so much in ISKCON. ISKCON's a very, sort of limited. I mean, as you say, it's growing now. We're getting older now. It's growing, but still, I think the extended family is very, very important. And because we don't have that,
it's difficult. One of the difficulties, like I was beginning, is the social design is not for spiritual upliftment. The social design is, it's not, all these relationships are wholesome. To have grandparents, they're really stabilizing, because the children can go to someone that's, a bit more detached from the situation, isn't it? Often the kids love the grandparents more because they're a bit more mellow. A bit more patient, a bit more, time, got more time for them. So all these things are, natural assets of a extended family and of a spiritual society. And we don't have those things, and they're very difficult to kindle, because often, just to go and see someone in this society, it takes so long, it's such an endeavour. It's not like, for instance, Dev Ramaswamy was saying with the Amish people, when they build a house, they have an attachment to the house for their parents. They're going to look after them. That's part of their kind of religious system. And that's, a bit more civilized. So the whole society, not only does it doesn't teach the values, but it doesn't even hardly, consider the importance of all these things. I heard Dave's working in gardening in an old people's home. He said it was very interesting when I went there. I asked the management, how come they don't have a car park here? And they said, because we know no one will come. I'm making a joke of it, but it's a sad truth. It's a tragic truth. This is the state, So in Krishna consciousness, we should develop these community models as much as we can, like New Nandagram, New Gokul, New Govardhan, so they can show a model of a, more, hopefully, more desirable, community. It's very needed. Has anyone else got any comment or question? Thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srimad Prabhupada Ki Jai.